He's a resident of Central Missouri and native of Lexington. Did high school in Kansas City, graduated from Stanford, went to Yale Law School, clerkships at the U.S. Court of Appeals, and also at the Supreme Court of the United States. He's an expert on constitutional law, teaches law at the University of Missouri. As Senator Blunt mentioned, in the last 5 years, he's been active in some of the country's most important cases. He's the winner of the, and a clear and strong winner, of the Missouri Republican primary for Attorney General. So please help me welcome the Republican candidate for Attorney General, Josh Hawley.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me here this afternoon. It's great to be with you. It's an honor to stand before you as the Republican nominee for Attorney General of our state, and it's a particular privilege to do it as the son and grandson of farmers. You know, I wish my grandfather could be with us here today. He's no longer with us, but he would be very proud to see me up here standing in front of the largest and most significant network of farmers and ranchers in the state of Missouri. My grandfather is the first generation of our family born in the United States. We are Norwegians by background, and his dad homesteaded a family farm, which is still in the family and still farming. And so he would be awfully proud, and I was just thinking of him on my way over here today, and I wish he could see this, but it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be standing in front of you. You know, my grandpa was never 100% sold on the idea of me going to law school. His comment to me was, when I told him I thought I would go to law school, nobody in my family is a lawyer. I've got farmers on one whole side of the family, and the other side of the family are business folks. And when I said to Grandpa I was going to go to law school, his comment to me was, he said, "Could you not find an honest profession to work at with your life?" But I went anyway, and here I am. And I tell you what, the reason that I went to law school is because I wanted to defend the Constitution of the United States. And I wanted to acquire the skills to do that, to stand up for our rights and liberties. And that's why I ended up running for Attorney General as well. And what I want to say to you today, this afternoon, is I think that Missouri's farmers need a defense, need a vigorous defense, deserve a vigorous defense from our state government against the unprecedented wave of overregulation that is coming down to us from Washington, from the state government as well, and sometimes from local municipalities. I mean, the right to farm is under threat in our state. And as someone who comes from a farming family, that's not just a theory to me. I understand what that means. I understand what that looks like in practice. And a big reason why I decided to run for Attorney General, I've never run for any office before in my life. You know, as Blake said, my background is in the practice of law with a particular focus on constitutional law. So this is my first time running, but I decided to run this year because I think that we are in a moment of crisis in our country and in our state. And what is happening with our small farms, our small businesses and families is a big part of that. And so I think what the next Attorney General of this state needs to do, the next Attorney General of the state needs to be someone who is committed to standing up for our farmers and for Missouri agriculture, to fighting the EPA in every forum that is needed, whether that's at the rulemaking stage, whether that's in the courts of the United States, whether that's in the United States Supreme Court. The next Attorney General of the state has to be committed to defending our use of our natural resources in the state, including the Missouri River, the use of which I think is increasingly overregulated under threat by the U.S. Army Corps, who have been out of control, in my view, in recent years and what they've been doing with the river. The next Attorney General needs to stand up for that. And we need to stand up to state bureaucrats. The state attorney general needs to stand up to state bureaucrats whenever necessary to put them back on their leash to make sure that Missouri farmers are able to do their jobs, that you are truly free to farm. You know, as one of my uncles told me not long ago, he said the problem with bureaucrats in Washington is they talk about freedom to farm. What they usually mean is freedom to fail, because what they want to do is basically treat farms like a public utility and regulate us and you like public utilities. And we have to say, that's not the case. Farms don't belong to the government, the state or the federal government. They belong to you. They belong to the people. They belong to the families. And our state needs them. Our state needs you. Our country needs you. And so, as Attorney General, my pledge to you will be that I will stand on the side of Missouri farmers. I will stand on your side over and against the bureaucrats every single day of the week and twice on Sundays. And you will have a friend in me, and not just someone who is a fair weather friend, but somebody who's been there, someone whose family has been in this vocation since we first came to this country. And I look forward to working together, standing shoulder to shoulder in this critical time for our state and our country. Nobody likes to hear a lawyer just prattle on and on and on. So I think what I will do is I'll stop now, and I'd love to take your questions, if that's okay, Lincoln.
Sure.
I'll take questions, and then maybe I'll say a few words at the end in closing.
Josh, we have a microphone, so give everybody a chance to get a microphone. All right, first question for Josh.
While you're doing that, let me just say my wife, I'll tell you a story while you're getting your questions queued up. So I come from a farming background. My wife comes from a ranching background. In fact, she is there, Blake alluded to this, she is there now on her family's ranch, cattle ranch, cow-calf operation. And I'm joining her later on today, tomorrow actually. But when we got married, you'll appreciate this, farmers and ranchers in the room, when we got married, things were a little tense at our wedding because my family are all crop farmers. A lot of corn principally, and then her family are cattle farmers, and that was at a time when corn prices were pretty high, and we had to do a lot of creative seating arrangements, you know. They weren't necessarily all talking to one another anyhow. So yes, sir.
Mr. Holly, what would you do in a case like we had in St. Louis some time back? How would you handle that?
What do you think you have in particular, Gilbert? I'm sorry.
Well, our
uprising. Okay, yeah, I was thinking I'd maybe missed a major agricultural issue. No, that's, in the Ferguson case, I think that is a total and complete failure of leadership on the part of our state officials, Governor Nixon, and Attorney General Koster, who's seeking a promotion. What I would have done differently is I would have, first of all, gotten myself there on the ground. I think it's imperative if you're going to be a leader, you have to be there at the scene. You can't run from danger. You have to go to it. So I would have gotten myself there. I would have strongly advised the governor to call out the National Guard and then to allow them to do their jobs. You know, he did activate the National Guard, but then he didn't use them. So the guardsmen and women had to stand by while entire neighborhoods burned, and they couldn't do anything about it because he wouldn't authorize them to act. That was wrong. He should have done so. And I would have stood by local law enforcement. I mean, when the governor undercut local law enforcement by appointing a highway patrol captain who was not from the area, was not in that chain of command, did not know the scene, and then immediately changed the rules of engagement, it was a disaster. It was just a disaster. So our law enforcement need folks, need leadership who is going to resource them, who's going to stand with them, who's going to go to the scene of trouble and put himself there in the way of danger on the ground to make those decisions. So, and I will say, as Attorney General, as the state's top lawyer, what we have got to commit to giving every single one of our communities, rural communities or urban communities, is a commitment to the rule of law. The rule of law is not optional. Every community deserves the rule of law, no matter where it is, no matter who you are. We have to have it. And what we're seeing is a spreading lawlessness in our country, for heaven's sakes. But unfortunately, it really began in many ways at Ferguson, spread to the University of Missouri, just up the road here. We have to put a stop to that. And we have to say the rule of law is non-negotiable, and it is for everyone, and we will see to it that it is enforced. Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Hawley?
Oh, you're far too polite. Oh, come on. Sure. Okay. No other questions, really. Honestly, I mean, you can. You know, I usually say, "There we go." I usually say when my wife's with me that she'll answer the hard questions, but she's not here today, so I'm on the hook.
How would you have handled the situation at the university differently than what it was handled?
Well, you know, I think that those two questions really go together because I read what happened at the university as a spreading of lawlessness from Ferguson. And I think, again, we saw a total deficit of leadership. For one thing, my view is that football coaches shouldn't be making decisions about who runs the University of Missouri. And athletes who are scholarshiped athletes should either play or forfeit their scholarships. So that's point number one. But point number two is that the board of curators and the leadership of the university allowed the situation to spin totally out of control. And even now as we speak, the university, to the best of my knowledge, continues to have a policy that is a blatantly anti-First Amendment policy. They instructed MUPD, the MU's own police departments, paid for with our tax dollars, by the way, MUPD to investigate instances of hurtful speech. Hurtful. Not threatening, not as in I'm going to break your arm, but hurtful, as in you hurt my feelings. MUPD has been given authority to investigate this. Now, I tell you what, that is not consistent with the Constitution of the United States. And, I read that not long ago, an administrator at the University of Missouri, a vice chancellor or something, said, and I quote, he said, well, the First Amendment doesn't protect offensive speech. If it doesn't protect offensive speech, it doesn't protect anything. The First Amendment protects offensive speech, and the reason is government doesn't get to tell us what is and is not offensive speech. If government can say what is and what is not offensive speech, pretty soon we won't be able to speak out about anything. So the University of Missouri needs to be instructed that it has to abide by the Constitution of the United States. It needs to be instructed that it is not a law-free zone. Students should go to class rather than protest and take over whole quads. Athletes should play when they're scholarship. Coaches should not be making decisions for the administration. And I think, we need leadership at the University of Missouri that wants to get that institution refocused on its job, which is teaching and learning and research, and not on what has been going on in the last year or so. So I think the university's in crisis. I'm not sure they realize that yet, but they are. And they need new leadership that's focused on their core mission. Thank you for that question.
Yeah. Chris?
It seems like when we get into these political seasons that we tend to lose the same direction that we have a lot of times. One of the primary purposes of this organization and something that's near and dear to everybody's heart is property rights. And I don't really particularly have a question, but when it comes to defending landowners, whether it's the Grain Belt Express or a walking trail or a biking trail going through your property, I'd just like to hear you talk a little bit about your defense of property rights as landowners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that the right to property, I mean, there's a reason that when you talk about life, liberty, and property, I mean, those things go together. And then the bureaucrats' attempt to constantly be regulating our property, diminishing our property rights, I think is a serious issue. Let me talk about eminent domain for a second. Eminent domain, I believe, is drastically overused. I think we have for years now in this country. The courts have allowed, they've given more rope and more rope and more rope, and what we have seen is we've seen states and localities and the federal government using eminent domain in a way that our framers never intended and that our Constitution doesn't really permit for. I think eminent domain should be used only for instances that are truly necessary to the public. It should be the exception. It should not be the rule. And of course, the compensation when eminent domain is absolutely necessary and only when it's truly necessary, the compensation ought to be at market value. It shouldn't be at some ridiculous cut rate. So I think that we've got government bureaucrats who have gotten far too used to regulating everything that's in sight, overusing eminent domain. And I'll just say, as Attorney General, I'm going to take a very skeptical view of these things and look for every opportunity to stand up, whether that's the EPA attempting to regulate what you do with the water on your land or regulate the power that we're using, the power of this building that you use to farm and to run your businesses, or whether that's a government that wants to condemn land for its own purposes that isn't truly a public use. So, that's my view of what needs to happen. We need to have an advocate to stand up for our property rights, which is really about protecting our farms and our families. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you for that.
All right.
Well, thank you very much again for having me. You've been awfully kind to me. I mean, gosh, no tough questions. I mean, that was thank you for having me. And until next time. Yeah, that's right. It's breaking me in. Thank you for having me. And I want to say thank you for what you are doing for our state. Thank you for what you do every day when you go out and farm and ranch. Thank you for being the backbone of our state and the backbone of our country. I think of something that Thomas Jefferson, I'm a big fan of the American founders. It's one of the reasons I decided to go to law school. And I think of something that Thomas Jefferson said. He said, cultivators of the earth are the most valuable citizens, which is typical Jefferson flowery language. But he was right. He was right. That farmers are the backbone of our country. They were then. They are now. You're the backbone of our state. So thank you for what you're doing. And I just want to say that it's an honor to stand in front of you. And I think you need and deserve an advocate in the Attorney General's office of the state, somebody who is going to say no when bureaucrats in Washington and Jefferson City say, we think that we know better than farmers do about how to farm their land and about how to produce for the state and for this country. And that's what I'm committed to doing. So thank you very much. God bless you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for having me this afternoon.